You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
After, did you tell Chad no, you weren't going to move?
We did.
Did he ever ask you to come up again?
He did.
How often would he ask?
Are you looking specifics or generality?
Well, generality first, then we'll go to specifics.
Generality, just whenever we could. And we did go visit. We had opportunity to go attend family functions and events up there.
Did he ever ask again for you and your family to move to Idaho?
There was a letter that was written to me.
When was that letter written?
In 2016.
And that was a letter from who?
That was from Chad.
What did he say in that letter?
In that letter, he essentially told me that we needed to be in Idaho.
Did he say why he believed that?
He said we needed to be in Idaho because within the next 3 years, there would be a giant earthquake that Springville and my house would be shaken to the ground and destroyed, and that we needed to escape that destruction before that happened.
Did he claim that to be part of his visions?
Yes.
Did he say anything about concerns he might have had with your wife?
He did.
What did he say?
He'd informed me that she was allowed to go south and that the spirits, in particular the dark spirits, would allow her to go south to do whatever she wanted to do, but she was not able to come to Idaho to see the glory and the visions that would happen, and that she more or less was being held back.
What did you take that to mean?
I took that to mean that she was being controlled by dark spirits.
How'd you react to him telling you that or I wasn't expressing that? Sorry.
I wasn't thrilled.
Why not?
Because I have a responsibility and a stewardship over my family. That's not Chad's responsibility.
Can you explain to the jury that word stewardship as you're using it? What do you mean by that?
When I say the term stewardship, stewardship would be an ownership or a responsibility or a something of that nature, that is my duty and my job, my responsibility.
Now, you just use the word ownership. Are you suggesting that you feel like you own your family?
I wouldn't say that I own my family, but I have a responsibility to them.
Yeah. Is the idea of stewardship something that is mainstream to the LDS Church?
Yes.
Why were you offended by Chad's statements about your wife and dark spirits relative to your stewardship?
I felt that he was trying to take a stewardship over my family and trying to tell us what we needed to do and where we needed to be.
Did you express any concerns to Chad about that?
Not at the time.
Did you ever, I'll throw that, I think you explained that there were some times after they moved to Rexburg that you would come up and visit them?
Yes.
Was there ever a time that, I'll withdraw that. When you come to visit, what would Chad tell you?
He would, at that time, we didn't talk in depth about any of the different opportunities to come up there because typically there was another event going on. And he would just explain to me how nice it was and just talk about how things are going up there and that things were wonderful.
Did he ever explain any more about his visions of what was going to happen in Rexburg?
He did. He actually invited me to come up on a trip. I took a day trip, went up there and was shown around Rexburg, was taken to BYU, Idaho. I was taken to other various places throughout town.
Do you remember when that trip was?
That trip would have been in 2016. I think it was the spring.
And what kinds of things was he sharing with you as he took you around Rexburg?
He was showing me that this would be a place of City of Light, that there would be a refuge for people to come, that it would be a safe haven. Areas of where there would be tent cities, areas of where he would expand his property or take his property and turning it into a tent city.
At that point, did you continue to believe or at least be open-minded to his visions as you have been before?
That was probably the first time after I left that I thought, I'm not supposed to be here.
Any reason why you had that thought?
Just my gut feeling of who I am and what I was doing.
Did you ever express that to Chad?
I just told him that I wasn't going to be coming up. That wasn't for us.
I want to stop here for a few moments and talk a little bit about Tammy. Could you just explain to the jury your relationship with Tammy?
I was Tammy's brother-in-law. I thought she was a sweetheart. She was a kind, gentle person that she really had a lot of people's best interest. She wasn't a saint. None of us are, but she was really, truly an amazing person that just loved people. And in particular, was one that would reach out to touch the individual in my.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. It's becoming a bit of a narrative.
Same.
Did you get any sense from your interactions with Tammy after they started planning a move to Idaho that this is something that she wanted to do?
Judge, objection, foundation.
I'm asking based on his observations and such, Your Honor.
Overruled.
From what I observed, she wasn't thrilled about going to Idaho.
What made you feel like that? Without speaking to anything she may have said.
Tammy was a gal that loved to be around her family and liked to be where she was in Springville and had a good relationship with my wife.
Did Tammy also have other family in Springville?
Yes.
Who else was in Springville?
She had cousins, aunts, nieces, nephews. The majority of my wife's family was there.
And did your family, you and your wife, have a lot of interaction with these extended family members?
Yes.
Did you ever make any observations about the way Chad and Tammy interacted with each other?
I did.
What observations were those?
Some of the observations I had were that they were happy while they were in Springville. They were a loving couple that were kind and nice to each other.
And did that change once they moved to Idaho?
Judge, I'm going to object unless there's some foundation as to how and when he observed the relationship personally.
Same.
Did you have any specific times that you came to Idaho that you observed Chad and Tammy together?
I did.
And when might some of those times have been?
We had opportunity to attend weddings of Chad's children together.
Do you remember approximately what years that happened?
I know there was one in 2018.
Did you make any particular observations in 2018 about Chad and Tammy's interactions with each other?
I felt their interactions were fine and appropriate.
After 2018, during 2018 up until Tammy's passing in 2019, to the best you can recall, can you tell the jury how often were you seeing Chad and Tammy, either in Idaho or Utah?
From what years, excuse me?
The last year of Tammy's life.
We had opportunity to interact with Tammy and Chad at a Christmas party in 2018. After that, the next opportunity that we had to interact with them was in the spring of 2018. They had an opportunity to come down or come to Utah for one of Chad's family functions.
Judge, before an objection, can I voir dire a native objection?
There's no pending questions, so go ahead, Mr. Wixom.
Thank you. Are there other contacts that you had in that last year that you haven't mentioned yet?
Other contacts that we had would not be until Tammy's passing.
So in the 2018 interaction, can you describe what that was?
Chad and his family came down, stayed at our residence. We had an opportunity to sit together in a hot tub with my wife, Tammy, Chad, and myself. Interaction was happening, but Chad seemed withdrawn.
What do you mean by that?
He wasn't engaging in the general conversation of the group.
Was that something that was abnormal for you guys when you'd visit together?
I noted it because it was different.
Did you notice that at the time?
I did.
Did you bring it up with anybody or with Chad?
I didn't bring it up with Chad. Didn't have an opportunity to. I noted it with my wife.
Were there any other interactions that you had in 2018 with Chad and Tammy?
Not that wouldn't be constituted as hearsay, so I would have to say no.
When did you first learn of Tammy's passing?
I was in down home running errands. My wife called me and informed me that Tammy had passed away.
What was your reaction when you heard that news?
I was stunned.
Why were you so stunned?
I had seen Tammy 2 weeks prior, and it didn't seem that somebody of her age, in her condition, should have passed.
Where had you seen her 2 weeks prior?
Tammy came to my house and stayed with my wife and I.
What was the occasion?
On that occasion, she was coming down to visit family and parents.
And you noted that part of why you were stunned was because of Tammy's condition. Will you elaborate on that for the jury, please?
For what I had observed, she was healthy. She seemed happy. She didn't seem to have anything that would cause her to die. Not that I'm an expert in that.
At that point in time, had you noticed whether or not Tammy had put on any significant weight or lost any significant weight?
I did not feel she had changed.
What did you do once you were processing this with respect to hearing of Tammy's death? What was the next thing that you did?
I returned home and gave my wife a big hug. I was devastated, and you don't know what you can do at that time, but you want to do something. And I was in a position that I felt I could coordinate efforts between Chad's family up north, our family down south, our local church congregation. And so I went to work trying to help plan that while a lot of people were just hurting.
Did you plan that with Chad, or did you plan it by yourself?
I didn't plan it. I helped coordinate.
At any point after you heard the news, did you talk to Chad?
Yes, I did.
When was that?
I would say around 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. I don't know the specific time.
Of what day?
Of October 19th, 2019.
Would that be the day of her passing?
Yes.
And when you say around 11 o'clock, would that be in the morning or in the evening?
In the morning.
Did Chad call you or did you call him?
I don't recall. I think I reached out to him.
What kinds of things did you and Chad talk about in that conversation?
We discussed getting in touch with a local mortician where we were at. We discussed getting in touch with the head of the congregation, just arranging the basic things that you would for a funeral.
What, if anything, did he say about his desire for the funeral?
Said he wanted to do it Tuesday, which was a little surprising to me.
Why?
I just felt it was very quick.
Did you talk about the circumstances of Tammy's death?
I asked him what had happened.
What did he say?
He said that he was woken up by her rolling out of bed and that she passed away.
Did you press him for further information?
I just had asked because you want to know what happened. And we talked about it. And the only answer he could give me is, I don't know. I left it at that.
In that conversation, did he mention anything about concerns that Tammy had had with her health?
No.
Did he mention any specific ideas that he may have had about her cause of death?
He did not.
And later to that day, let me withdraw that. In that conversation, did the topic of an autopsy come up?
Not between he and I.
Did you get a different call later that day?
I did.
From who?
I got a call from Steve Schultz.
What was that in regard to?
Steve Schultz was the local mortician we were coordinating efforts with. And that was in regards to asking if I would assist him in retrieving Tammy and bringing her back to Springville.
Did you do that?
I did.
When did you do that?
We left the following morning, Sunday, early to go pick up Tammy.
Did you go straight to the house?
We first initially went to the Daybell residence.
Who was there?
There was myself, Steve Schultz. Both of Chad's parents, Jack Daybell, Sheila Daybell were there. Garth was there. And Chad was there.
Did you have any conversations at that point with Chad?
I did.
Did you make any observations about his demeanor or mood or any of those things?
My observation was that he seemed relatively normal.
What do you mean by that?
In the fact that we had discussions initially of, I'm sorry, you lost her, and general greetings.
And why would that be? What was he doing that was abnormal to you?
The thing that was abnormal was I didn't witness a lot of mourning. I did see both and observe both parents upset. Garth and I had conversation in which Garth expressed him being upset. And I had asked Chad if he was okay. And he said, no, I'm fine. I'm all cried out.
Did you continue to discuss funeral arrangements at that point?
Yes.
What kinds of things in terms of arrangements did you discuss with him?
Just when, where, what the timing would be, things that you would do with a funeral.
Was there anything about his demeanor in that exchange that stood out to you?
I would just say that it would just seemed off. And by that, I didn't feel like at the time, I didn't feel like it was normal when someone lost a spouse, but everybody does grieve differently. And so I didn't think any more about it beyond that.
Was there any more talk with Chad about the circumstances of Tammy's death at that point?
No.
Did you then, did you help Mr. Schultz remove the body and take Tammy to the
funeral? We did. We went from there to the funeral home and picked up Tammy, placed her in the vehicle, and proceeded to head south.
Do you feel like at any point during that transport or the transport to Utah, did you get a chance to observe Tammy's body?
I didn't get a chance to observe Tammy's body before transporting, no.
Did you after?
After, I had an observation of just her area from the shoulders up to observe her face.
And when was that opportunity?
That was when we dropped her off at the funeral home.
Did you make any observations about her at that point?
I didn't make any observations other than I wanted to see if she would be or look appropriate enough that my wife might want to help do her hair and makeup.
After taking her to the Utah mortuary, do you recall, did you attend any viewings for Tammy?
I did.
Which viewings did you attend?
There were two viewings associated with her funeral. There was one that was on Monday night, and then there was one before the funeral Tuesday morning.
Did you have any interaction with Chad at the one the night before?
I made attempts. We didn't have a whole lot of exchange. He was busy. I was busy. And so I wanted to try to connect with him, but every opportunity I had, we just missed each other.
Was that necessarily unusual given the circumstances?
I don't feel it was unusual with the circumstances, no.
So is it fair to say at that point you didn't have any concerns about?
No, I didn't.
And then did you attend a viewing the following morning?
I did.
Did you interact with Chad at that point?
Maybe small talk, nothing substantial at that time.
Did you have a chance to observe him at that point as well?
I did.
Did you notice anything during that interaction that caused you any concern?
The family prayer, which is customary at a religious event that we have with a funeral. Seemed a little off. He was really shaky and very unsure on his feet and almost just seemed different.
Could you expand on that? When you say off and different, what do you mean?
He was rocking back and forth and side to side and giving the prayer and not crying, but trying to cry is what I felt.
Did you hear the words of his prayer?
I did, but I couldn't recall them right now.
Anything besides what you just explained at the viewing that caused you any concern?
No, I did have a chance to observe Tammy in her coffin at various times, and she seemed at rest, peaceful.
And you attended the funeral?
Yes.
Did you make any observations about Chatter's behavior during the funeral?
During the funeral, I was watching one of their grandchildren in the back, and so I did not have opportunity to observe as much as I might like to, and so I did not.
And then after the funeral, did you attend, was there a family luncheon held?
There was.
Where was that held at?
That was held at the same place that we had the funeral.
Was that directly after the funeral or what time frame?
After the funeral, we proceeded to the cemetery where she was interned. And we were there for what I felt like was longer than normal. Considering everybody wanting to visit, I thought, okay, this is fine. We'll stick around for a while. And then that, after that is when the luncheon occurred down at the church.
Okay. Anything that stood out in your mind at the luncheon?
At the luncheon, we all arrived at the church. And while we were there for probably 25 to 30 minutes waiting for Chad to arrive. Didn't want to start, felt it might be inappropriate if he was not there. And I finally had a phone call that he informed me that he was still running behind and that we should just go ahead and get started without him.
I don't know if I missed this, but did you say how long it took for him to eventually get to the luncheon?
I didn't mention it, but I would say probably an additional 15 minutes.
So how late was he for that?
From the time that we arrived until he arrived, I would have to guess approximately 45 minutes.
Did that cause you any concern?
It didn't seem concerning per se, other than we did want to visit. We did want to have some interaction and talk with him.
Did you get that opportunity?
I did not.
Did you try?
I did.
What was the response from Chad?
The response was, we have a memorial to do tomorrow. We're going to have to load everybody up and we got to go back to Idaho. I felt it was pretty abrupt in the exit.
Was that unusual given the long history you had with Chad and his family?
Given the long history, I felt it was unusual.
After Tammy's funeral, did you notice any change or difference in terms of the relationship that you had with Chad and with his children?
He had taken off for a time. And so immediately after the funeral, within the first 30 days, not necessarily, but I didn't know what to expect following the death of a close loved one.
And if we could help the jury understand, how close were you, if you were at all, with Chad's children before the funeral?
Before the funeral, it wasn't uncommon if we wanted to reach out, text message or phone call, to have interaction and conversation with them.
When you said you attended weddings earlier in Rexburg, was it for Chad's children?
Yes.
So did you regularly attend their life events?
We would make every effort that we could.
And the time that they lived in Springville with you, would you say that you had a close relationship or not?
We did, yes.
So how did that relationship change once the funeral was over? Not necessarily immediately, but in the days and weeks following.
The relationship changed primarily after we had learned of other things that had gone on.
We'll come back to that. At some point after the funeral, did you ever reach out to Chad?
I did.
When was that?
I remember reaching out to him approximately 30 days later to call to see how he was doing. I understood that he had spent some time in Hawaii, and I just wanted to do a follow-up to check in on him to see how he was doing with his wife's passing.
What kinds of things did Chad explain to you in that conversation?
In that conversation, I was informed, or I was actually asked, have I been speaking with Heather Daybell? That was the first thing he mentioned on the phone call.
Did you find that unusual?
Yes, I did.
Why?
Because I wanted to talk to him and not about Heather Daybell.
And so the jury understands, was Heather Daybell someone that you had a close relationship with?
No.
She's How are you related to Heather Daybell, just to put it in perspective?
To put it in perspective, Chad's brother Matt married Heather, making her Chad's sister-in-law. And so at these family functions, if it was extended, we would see her. We were cordial. I didn't have anything against her, but we weren't close by any means.
Did you ever, in that phone call that you made to Chad a month after the funeral, did you ever ask him why he was asking if you talked to Heather?
Conversation was such that he asked if I had been talking to Heather Daybell, and I said no. He had said, well, she's spreading rumors about me in Rexburg, Idaho. So I asked why. And he said, well, it's not important, but while I was in Hawaii, I got married.
Was that the first time that you learned that he'd been married?
Yes.
Were you surprised by that?
Very.
Why?
Because it is not common to marry somebody. At that time, I thought within a month, maybe, of a wife passing when he was as close as he was to his spouse.
Did you find it in any way unusual or not with respect to the fact that all this history of years of closeness with Chad that he hadn't told you before this, had he gotten married?
We hadn't had opportunity to talk. So this is the first opportunity to talk. I'm not surprised that that was what he would tell me.
How did you react to that when he said that?
I remember literally standing there and just not knowing what to say.
Did you eventually speak?
Yes, I did.
What did you say to him and ask him at that?
I asked him the first thing that came to my mind, which is, who is she?
What did he say?
He told me her name was Lori Ryan.
Had you ever heard that name before?
I had not.
Did he tell you in that conversation when he had married Lori Ryan?
In that conversation, he did not. He just explained who she was.
Did he describe her in any way, tell you anything about her?
He did.
What kinds of things did he tell you?
He explained that she was 5'6", 120 pounds, blonde, worked out, physically fit, hairdresser, and just an amazing individual.
Did he mention anything about her family background?
He had mentioned that her husband had died of a heart attack earlier in 2019.
Did he say anything about her children, if she had children or didn't have children?
I asked him if he had children, and he said that she had some grown children, but that was it.
At that point, had you ever heard of JJ and Tylee's names?
No.
Anything else in that conversation that stood out to you?
In particular, nothing that was of note, other than I was still trying to process that he had been married, and I wanted to know when he had gotten married, but he had not shared that with me.
In the days that followed, did you have another conversation with Chad?
We did.
When was the next conversation?
The next conversation was a day or two later. I'm not specific on what day it was.
And what was that conversation about?
The conversation for me was mainly trying to find out information of, when did you get married?
So did you call him? Did he call you?
I called him.
Did you call and ask him that question?
I did.
What did he say?
He informed me at that point that he had been married on November 5th.
Did he say anything else about his marriage?
Not a lot about the marriage itself.
I want to back up. Back on November 19th, did Chad ever ask you to do anything about this information that he'd been married?
You know, when he did share that information with me, the one item that was a little surprising was that he asked me not to tell anybody.
Did he give an explanation as to why he didn't want you to tell anybody?
He just said, don't let anyone know. And I informed them he needed to call our in-laws and let them know. And he just didn't give him information. He didn't give a reason.
Okay. So then going forward to that phone call, and you had a couple of days later, did he say anything about how his kids had reacted to the marriage?
He did.
What did he say?
He informed me that his kids knew that he was going to be getting married before he went to Hawaii.
And what was your thought at that point?
My thought was, and I did ask him, how did they keep that a secret? And one of the answers the answer troubled me, because he said, my kids are good at keeping secrets.
Did he explain what he meant by that at all?
No, he didn't.
Was there anything else of note in that particular conversation?
I wouldn't say there was anything of note. I was just still trying to process that I learned the date of the marriage, which was roughly 2 weeks after the funeral. And I just remember in my mind thinking, that's incredibly quick. I didn't feel it appropriate.
When's the next time in your memory that you had contact with Chad?
The next time we had contact with Chad was the day I want to say it was the day that Tammy was exhumed.
And how did that contact occur?
Contact occurred where he reached out and sent me a text message telling us that he needed to speak with me and my wife, Samantha.
And did you talk to him?
We did.
Did you call him? Or did he call you?
I think that when my wife returned home, that she reached out on her phone and put us on speakerphone with him.
Do you recall at least approximately when the day that Tammy was exhumed?
I want to say it was the 13th of December, but I could be wrong.
So when you spoke to him on this occasion, what specifically did you talk about?
There were more conversation between him, my wife, and he, as there was to he and I. However, we were all on a speakerphone together. And it was a conversation in which he had asked us if we had known that Tammy was exhumed and had we been responsible for that.
And I just want to invite you in these questions. Just speak to what you heard from Chad, not what your wife may have said. Okay.
Sure. Of course.
So what did he say about it, if anything?
He wanted to know if we knew that she had been exhumed. He wanted to know if we had any responsibility for her being exhumed. And in both cases, we did not. We did not know anything about it.
Did he explain at all why he wanted to know if you had responsibility for that?
No.
What else did he ask or say to you?
During that conversation, there was a lot, but I probably couldn't testify to much of that at this point.
Did he have any comments that he made to you in regard to Tammy in that conversation?
He did have conversation regarding Tammy.
What did he say about Tammy?
In conversation regarding Tammy, the thing that stood out was that he had mentioned the day of the funeral that she had appeared to him and told him that it was time to move on.
How did you take that?
I took it to mean that if she did have conversation and told him it was time to move on, that likely it didn't mean within 2 weeks.
Why did he mention that? Was there any reason in that conversation?
I don't know why he mentioned that.
Did Heather's name come up again in that phone call?
In that phone call, I don't know. I can't testify that it did or not.
Okay. Your Honor, given the time, does the court want me to continue or do we stop for a break?
You can continue on another 5 or 10 minutes, Mr. Wixon. Thank you.
Thank you. At some point in time after that, did you ever get a call from law enforcement?
Yes, I did.
When did that occur?
That occurred approximately December 18th, 2019.
And do you remember who it was that contacted you?
I don't specifically remember, but that they requested they wanted to meet with me.
And did you do that?
We did. Yes, I did.
Where did you meet with them at?
I met with them at the Springville Police Department.
Did they explain to you what they wanted to meet with you about?
Not until I arrived.
When you got there, what was your understanding of what this was about?
When I arrived, my understanding was that there were two missing kids that were affiliated with Lori and Chad.
What were the names of the kids that you learned about?
JJ and Tylee.
And did they explain to you why they were asking you about?
They did.
What did they say?
They had informed me that they were children of Lori's, that these children have gone missing, that they had asked for a wellness check on the children, and that they had not been able to find them.
Did that cause you any concerns?
Yes, it did.
What were the concerns?
The concerns were primarily that in previous conversation, Chad had told me that Lori did have children, but that they were older, that they were not minor children, and that these children were missing and affiliated with the two of them.
In that conversation with law enforcement, did you learn anything else that was concerning to you?
I think I took away primarily that was probably the biggest concern. The other concern might be that they weren't able to get in touch with them, that they weren't getting communication from them.
Do you recall approximately the date that this happened?
I believe it was December 18th.
And do you happen to recall the names of any of the law enforcement that were with you?
Were law enforcement from... I recall the agencies. There were law enforcement agencies from the FBI, the Madison County Sheriff's Department, Fremont County Sheriff's Department, and I believe Rexburg Police Department was there as well.
And during that conversation, did law enforcement ask you to do anything?
They didn't ask me to do anything specifically.
Did you do something to try to help them?
I did.
What did you do?
I told them that I'll call Chad, find out where he's at. What's going on?
Did you mean that you would do it right then and there?
Sure. Why not?
In fact, did you do it right then and there?
I did.
To the best that you understand, was law enforcement listening to that conversation?
They were.
Had they informed you that they were going to record it?
I asked them to record it.
When you called, did Chad answer?
Yes, he did.
Your Honor, at this time, that was some preparatory foundation, but I need to request the court the opportunity to play maybe the first 30 to 60 seconds of the recording to lay further foundation. And I don't know if you want me to do that now or do it after a break.
If it's admitted, how long is this recording?
It's 11 minutes.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take the recess, and then we can see if the recording gets admitted or not after that.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our mid-morning recess then, about 25 minutes or so. So 25 after, we'll come back on with additional testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All rise, please. All rise. District Court's again in session.
Thank you. Please be seated. We could have the jurors brought in, please. Yes, thank you.
All right, please. Here's our present count for you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. Okay, we're back on the record on CR 22-21-16-23, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. Mr. William is on the stand, has been placed under oath, and Mr. Wixom, you can continue with direct examination.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. William, just for clarity, since we had a break, I believe that one of the last things you said about this phone call was that you had asked law enforcement to record it. Is that what I heard?
Correct.
Why did you ask that from law enforcement?
I wanted to know if there was going to be any answers that would help to find the two missing kids that they were inquiring about. And I thought it would be helpful that if there was information given that would assist in that, I thought it'd be good to record it.
And in the conversation, who literally participated in the conversation?
There was myself, Chad Daybell, and Lori Daybell.
Nobody else comes into the conversation?
I don't believe so.
If in fact, have you recently heard that conversation?
Recently, yes.
If you did have the opportunity to listen to the very early portion of the conversation, would that be something that you could recognize and identify?
Yes.
Your Honor, at this time, the state has state's proposed Exhibit 308, which is a recording of that phone call. We would seek to have the opportunity to play the first portion for this witness to help identify it. And we, for clarity, we will be offering it under 801D2.
All right. If you want to play just a very limited amount, enough to lay some foundation for the witness, and then don't publish anything more than that, Mr. Wixom.
Thank you, Judge. I would ask for 30 to 60 seconds. And Your Honor, I don't know if Madam Clerk needs to do anything. I did connect the HDMI, so I intend to play it through the... So she did. Sir, I'm going to play a very small portion of the phone call and then ask you if you're able to identify it.
Hello.
Hi, Jason.
Chad, what's going on?
Good message.
You've got... All right, what the heck is going on? I got people... coming down from Rexburg.
Mr. Wixom, I think that's probably enough.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Gwilliam, do you recognize the voices in that call?
Yes.
Do you recognize that recording?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that that's the actual phone call that you engaged in that you've already been testifying to the jury about?
I believe that it is.
Your Honor, at this time, the state would seek to admit State's Exhibit 308.
Any objection?
No objection, Judge.
All right. Exhibit 308 is admitted, and you may publish if you request, Mr. Wixom.
Thank you, Your Honor. I do. Sir, I'm going to continue to play this call. I may stop at points and ask you some questions.
They're wanting to talk to us.
What?
Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm like, I don't know if I want to talk to you guys. And yeah, I have people wanting to question and talk to me about you and what you got going on. And I'm like, okay, why? And so I thought I need to reach out and find out.
Speaker Lori's here, so let me just put that speaker.
Okay, sure.
So go ahead and state what is happening so she can hear.
I have people calling me from Rexburg saying we want to bring you in for questioning and talk to you about what's been going on, and we're trying to find some kids. And what do you know about it? And I'm going, I don't know anything. What? Why? What? Okay, no, I don't know what's going on. And so...
Yesterday, they actually went to Leah's house and tried to threaten her. We're not fully sure what they're trying to accomplish. It's mainly one detective in Rexburg.
Okay.
So finally, we got a hold of an attorney, and that's pretty much where it goes from here. It's just
everything that you're turning on stuff. Okay.
Yeah, just we can text you his name and.
Yeah, I probably should.
Mr. Gwilliam, I'm going to pause there. You just heard yourself in the audio saying you probably should contact an attorney. Did I get that correct?
On that one, they had mentioned, or he had mentioned to me, that they had an attorney they retained, and I wanted to get the name of the attorney so that I could then pass it on to law enforcement, and that was the purpose of that.
Okay. And the voices that we've heard so far, we've heard your voice. Just for clarity, who's the other voice?
The other voice is Chad Daybill.
You know me, I don't deal with a lot of this stuff very well. I'm just like, okay, I'm a simple dude. What's going on? What do you guys want to do? What's happening? What's going on?
Your route. I don't know how you would even be involved.
I have no idea. They're just trying to go through and just kind of see if I know anything about anything going on. And I'm like, no, why would I? Talk to me. Tell me what's going on. Well, we're trying to find two kids that along with Lori, and we just want to know if they're being, you know, sheltered down in Utah. And I'm like, what? I don't have any idea what you're talking about. So is there kids that are not involved, or what are they talking about? So I'll have a clue if they show up at my house.
If they show up, you can just give them the attorney's name and say, we're not talking to you without an attorney.
Okay.
No, sister-in-law. It's just a bunch of people that are starting trouble for no reason.
It's separate from the Tammy situation.
Mr. William, you just heard that reference to the Tammy situation. What did you take that to mean from Chad when he said that?
When he said the Tammy situation, I can only, the fact that he had buried her soon, married Lori as quickly as he did, I don't know that it would be a situation, and I don't know what he means by situation in that. At that point,
would it be fair to say at that point in time that you didn't have any knowledge of any investigation related to Tammy?
I didn't know of anything.
And had Chad ever discussed anything like that with you in any of the prior phone calls?
Let me backtrack slightly. Possibly the Tammy situation could be in reference to him calling previously to ask about her exhumation.
They're trying to combine it all together.
Well, do you want to send me that attorney's number? Do you want to text it to me? Or
yeah.
So, yeah, if you can do that, that would be helpful, I'm sure.
So, they're just grasping at straws. I still feel Heather Daybell's behind it.
Okay.
Just, she's an evil woman. And
it's her in-law that's this officer.
Detective Hope.
Yeah, did he call?
Just to inquire, at that point in time, had Heather Daybell contacted you about any of this?
At that point in time, I don't know that Heather and I had had conversation about that. I can't recall.
Are you?
No, he didn't call me. It was another individual. And so, that's where I'm like, okay, this is getting a little bit weird here. And so I thought we'd reach out to you to find out, you know, what's going on. And so.
So we pretty much blocked them. It's a simple situation, but we just can't tell you because then you'd have to be involved.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I get it. That's fine. So at that point, they're talking about bringing down like a host of like FBI people involved and stuff.
You just heard Chad describe the situation as a simple situation.
Correct.
And he said, I can't tell you because I don't want to get you involved.
That was what was stated.
And you said, okay, I understand. What did you mean by that comment?
At that point, I felt that it probably possibly was a smaller situation. I didn't know what the situation was. And so at that stage, I think he was just trying to keep me out of the loop.
And I'm like, I don't need that. It's Christmas. So, you know, that's where I'm just going, all right, that's interesting. So... okay.
Well, if you don't know anything, which is great. You don't know anything.
No, I don't know anything, and so that's good news at that point in time. So, okay.
I don't know how I would have done that other than Heather. She knows our friendship.
Oh, sure. No, of course. And so, yeah. And that's when I was like, yeah, maybe I better get a heads up about what they might have to say or what's going to happen or what they're talking about doing. And so if you've got that name on that, I'll just say, hey, look, you know what? You may just want to go talk to these people. I don't need to, you know, be involved in the whole thing. So
I'll text you the attorney's name. He's a calm, collected individual. We're happy with him. But
gotcha. So on that, it's just
everybody that we know. It's just so dumb.
So on that, is this an attorney that's just, is he out where you're at? Is he local? How would I, if I needed to?
He's in Rexburg.
He's a Rexburg attorney? Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So, yeah. Okay.
So
it's Rexburg police who are being whatever.
Yeah, they've gone.
It's Heather's in-law.
Right.
Is this detective that's bugging everybody. So.
Yeah. They seem to think that there's stuff that's being hidden and that they're wanting to try to get to the bottom of what's being hidden. And I'm like, I don't know what your guys are talking about. It kind of catches you off guard when you have them call you up and start chatting with you. And you're going, okay, I don't know anything about this stuff here. And so, yeah.
This is a different issue that doesn't involve any Douglases.
Okay. Well, but that being the case, that's fine. I just thought of
that you're being bothered.
No, that's fine.
Being bothered.
I think they're just trying to.
Just to be clear, Mr. Gwilliam, who are the Douglases that are being referenced?
That would be in reference to my wife's family. We all lived within a close proximity to each other.
Is Douglas your wife and Tammy's maiden name?
Yes, it is.
Just go down every possible route and road that they can, I suppose. So.
And so if they happen to bother Ron and Phyllis or anybody, just the same attorney.
Same attorney.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you'll get me that information, that would be helpful with regards to that. So
that yeah, would... texted to
Barkalik. Sean Barkalik.
Yeah, it's a weird name.
What? Sean what?
Bartholik.
Oh, Bartholik. Okay. Yeah, that is a little different.
Same name.
Yeah, that works out just fine. So
this detective is Matt and Heather's daughter's father-in-law.
Oh, okay, so there's a relation to Heather with regards to everything.
Or what? He is
we
just
don't know if
so
he's getting paid off or what, but he's bugging everybody we know it's for no reason. And he won't even call us. He doesn't call us ever to ask us any questions. He's just trying to get information from anybody else that will give him information.
Sweet. So should I tell him to call you and you'll give him the information so he'll leave me alone?
Yes.
All right. Maybe I'll do that. If they say come over, I'll say, hey, you got their number. Call them. You know, and so
it's like he's circling us rather than talking
exactly.
So he's basically taking every angle possible and trying to come in and chat with you guys rather than just saying, hey, pick up the phone, call you, and you'll chat with him. Yes. Nice.
I changed this number.
What?
Garth gave him my number 3 weeks
They've
ago.
They've had the numbers.
Oh, no kidding. Well,
and just won't call me.
I'll just tell him, pick up the phone and call the guy. Hello. That's not that hard. You know, reach out and touch someone. So
probably just start with the attorney's
I'll just say here, point. You know what? Go talk to Mark or whatever you are at. And so okay. Anyway, yeah. So
you can say that. You can say that we've been instructed by our family attorney to not speak to any police, and here's his number. You can contact him,
gotcha.
And they can cover the whole entire family.
Okay,
Jason. At that point, from your perspective, did you see any need not to talk to police?
I did not see a need for them not to communicate with the police.
Did you personally have any concerns if the police were going to interact with you about this issue?
No.
We heard the name Ron and Phyllis. Who is that?
Ron and Phyllis are Chad and I's in-laws.
No, that's fine. So you guys...
By our family attorney. This is his name. So here you go.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine. That's what I'll do at that point.
Just to all your family.
And then I'll just turn around and say, by the way, if you want to just pick up the phone and call him, why don't you? So,
right.
Anyway. That's
what I told him.
Oh, did he? So are the kids, what are their plans for Christmas then? Are they just going to be hunkered down? Are they back in Rexburg at home?
Emma's going to stay. Garth and Leah are going to go on a little vacation.
Okay. Are they?
At that point in time, Mr. Gwilliam, when you said, are the kids going to be back in Rexburg? Which kids were you referring to?
I was referring to my nieces and nephews, Chad's children.
At that point in time, did you have any information or ideas where JJ and Tylee were?
I had no idea.
Did you have any information at that point about where Chad and Lori were?
I did.
Did it come from Chad?
I don't recall who it came from, whether it was through him or through his children. I don't recall.
Going before, we were talking, I do that trip every year that I take the kids on.
Right.
That I just get away beforehand. And I actually thought about going up to the hardware ranch and I was going to call Garth and say, hey, everybody else is married. Why don't you come go to the hardware ranch and sample a square or something with us?
The 23rd. So.
Oh, okay. That would put him.
Seth's gonna head out to. I think Garth's actually going down this weekend.
I did hear he was coming down. He was gonna be down. He was. They didn't make it last weekend. I guess it snowed quite a bit, or I don't know what happened. I don't want to drive the Moab Pass in a snowstorm either. So.
Anyway, in terms of Candy's autopsy or whatever, I did talk to, you probably heard from Ron and Phyllis how that went.
I did. I didn't. Samantha did, and I haven't been home to get a chance to chat with her about it all yet. And so,
one day last Wednesday, a week ago, I haven't heard a thing.
Because
I have not heard a thing. If Lori and I didn't hear through relatives, we would have no idea.
And that surprised me because someone had said, hey, go check out the cemetery. And I'm going, okay, why? I don't go to the cemetery. I'm not the former Chad Daybell, the guy that digs up. And so I go over and I'm like, where's the grass? Of course, Samantha at that point, okay, what's going on? I don't know. I don't know. So when we talked to you last week, I hadn't heard anything. And then a couple of days later, people are going, hey, there's stuff going on around here. You may want to go take a look. Okay, that'd be good to know. So anyway, yeah. What do you got planned for Christmas then? Anything good? Is that Alicia? Oh, are you there?
Hello?
Oh, there you are. Okay, as far as Christmas goes, what do you got planned then on that?
We're at for now.
I think it's breaking up on me. What was that?
We're not going to Idaho.
No, you don't want to go to Idaho, so that's for sure. He's going to be hanging out doing I'm just curious to know how a Mele Kaliki Maka Hawaiian Christmas works out, so I guess I'm just jealous more than anything else. So, anyway. That Alicia? I think I lost you. I lost you.
Mr. William, I'm just, again, having listened to the full audio, is there any reason for you to think that the audio was altered in any way?
I don't believe it was.
It captured the full conversation.
Yes, sir.
What did you mean when you told Chad, you don't want to go to Idaho? What was your reference about that?
He had informed me that basically he didn't want to have to talk to cops face to face. He'd rather just them call. And so I just making small talk at that point.
At that point in time, or any time subsequent to that, I'm sorry, did you ever talk to Chad again?
That was the last communication Chad and I ever had.
No other communication. Why is that?
Couldn't tell you.
Did you make efforts to reach out?
There was another time after the first of the year that I made an effort to make a phone call and it was unsuccessful.
The number that you called, was that the same phone number that you had been calling for this call, for example?
Yes.
When you say unsuccessful, did nobody answer? Were there voicemails?
I couldn't testify to that. I can't recall.
You just didn't contact them.
Right.
Do you ever recall any follow-up, missed calls back from Chad to your phone, any emails, any text messages?
No.
And at some point, did you learn where JJ and Tylee had been found?
I did.
Your Honor, I have no further questions. And for the record, I have State's Exhibit 308 as played. I'd like to give back to the marshal.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wixom. All right. Once you're ready, cross, Mr. Pryor.
Thank you, Judge.
Morning, Mr. William.
Morning, Mr. Pryor.
Mr. William, you had mentioned that you were a close brother-in-law with Chad from approximately 1997 to 2015. You recall that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And during that time, were both of you, let me rephrase that, Judge. During that time, both of you were involved in your LDS faith in Springville, Utah. Would that be fair?
Chad and I attended the same ward, yes.
Okay. And that's what I was getting at.
Yes.
And as far as your participation in that ward, did either of you hold any positions of authority or deference in that ward during that time?
Yes.
And which positions were those, sir?
I don't recall specifics. I can tell you to speak to Chad, and I want to preface this by saying absolutely loved Chad. Was an amazing individual. He served as a counselor in our bishopric as well as a president of the Elders Quorum, which is an organization group of men.
Okay. So he held a bit of a prominent position within the church from 97 to 2015.
I would say at various times throughout that, yes, not all at the same time.
And during the same time, he was writing these books that you expressed some concern about, correct?
He was starting to write the books at that time frame.
Well, 2006, he started writing the books is what you recall. Is that correct?
I would say yes.
And he was writing those throughout 2015. Is that correct?
He was.
Okay. And there were no concerns at this point. These were just topics of interest that Chad expressed in and wrote about in his books. Would that be fair?
At the time, yes.
Okay. And then he moved in 2015 to the Rexburg area. And are you aware if he continued to write these books?
From my understanding, he continued to publish his books at that time.
And as a close friend of his, are you aware that he continued his activities and participation in the LDS faith through up until the incidents that involve this case?
Objection, counsel's testifying.
Sustained.
Are you aware of whether he continued to participate in his LDS faith up until the facts that led to this particular case?
My understanding. Objection,
that's the same answer, Your Honor, or same question, Your Honor.
Overruled. You can answer.
Yes, he continued to publish books.
And you described how the relationship in Springville between Chad and Tammy was a relatively normal marital relationship. Do you recall that?
They had what I would consider a normal marital relationship, yes.
And your testimony previously was that up and through 2018, that marital relationship, from your observations, continued to be relatively the same.
I didn't observe them as much when they were in Idaho as I did when they were in Utah. But from my perspective and what I observed, I would agree.
Okay. And I'd like to go over a little bit of the time frame from 2015, the frequency with which you had contact with Tammy and Chad from 2015 forward. You mentioned a couple of family events. What else was there? Let's start with 2015. Do you have any specific recollection of what you may have participated in with both Tammy and Chad in 2015?
In 2015, we did not go to Idaho.
Okay.
They would come down to Springville quite often. They still had some medical things going on with regards to kids and braces, things that would carry over from one area to another. And so we would see them more in 2015 when they would attend and come south to where we were.
Okay. And in 2016?
2016 was when I got a letter censuring me to say, hey, you know, this is what you need to be doing. And so we did take the opportunity in 2016 to visit more often.
Okay. And how often, when you say how often is that?
I would say during 2016, we probably went up there 3 to 4 times.
Okay.
And again, they would continue to come down south and visit us down there.
And was that a frequent visit down to Springville?
There was back and forth. Probably we would engage in physical seeing of each other, likely once a month.
Okay. And then again in 2017?
In 2017, I don't recall, but a lot of similar activity continued.
Okay. 2018?
In 2018, there were some weddings, mission farewells, of which we went north. They did, again, come down south for just various activities. There was a family Christmas party, and there were times that we would get together for various reasons.
And you mentioned something, at least my notes reflect, that there was an event in spring of 2018.
Spring of 2018, I don't know that it was, let's see, spring of 2018, I don't think it was spring of 2018. Okay. Excuse me. No, I'm not going to testify to that. I don't recall.
Okay. And then there was a Christmas party in 2018, correct?
There was.
That was that 2018 going into 2019, or was it 2017 going into 2018?
It was 2018 going into 2019.
And nothing particular. Again, the relationship between, at least what you observed, seemed to be relatively similar to what you've
experienced. From my observation, yes.
Okay. All right. And Chad still engaged with his children, still engaged with Tammy, engaged with the extended family as well, correct?
Typically, when Chad would engage with the extended family, it was more he and I going off, communicating, having conversation about various things in life going on.
Okay. And then what I understand you're saying is after 2018, after Christmas, that's when you may have observed some changes. Is that fair?
I would say in 2019, we did not see them as much.
Okay. But to your knowledge, Chad continued to publish his books.
To the best of my knowledge, he continued with his book company.
And when we talk about, and were you aware about what Tammy's involvement was in regards to the publishing company?
I knew what she was involved in when she was in Springville.
Okay. You didn't have an occasion to delve into how she participated, or what her participation was in the publishing company. Is that right?
Not when they were in Idaho. I just didn't observe that.
Okay. Now, I want to go to the interview that you talked about when you were contacted by law enforcement to be interviewed. And can you give me the date of that again?
Which time? The time when I went initially?
I believe it was at the Springville Police Department around December 18th.
That sounds accurate.
Okay. Do you recall who was there for that?
Again, I can testify to agencies. I can't tell you individual people.
Okay. Did those agencies, when you were there, identify who they were?
They did.
Okay. And which agencies?
The agencies that I recall would have been FBI, okay. Springville Police Department, because they were hosting. There were individuals from Rexburg, meaning I don't know if it was police department or Madison County. And there were Fremont County representatives.
Okay. And when you say representatives, were those all police officers?
From my recollection, I believe they were all police officers.
Okay. No one represented themselves as anything other than a police officer at that time?
At that time, it was represented as law enforcement.
Okay. I'm going to have you look to my left, and the gentleman sitting at the seat with the red tie, do you recognize him?
I do.
And he was there at that time for the interview.
Objection is to relevance, Your Honor.
Overruled.
He was there at that time during the interview of you as well, correct?
I couldn't recall whether he was there or not.
Okay.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.